I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Shypedia Podcast. This is your host, Marsha, and I have a very awesome, spectacular, gorgeous, funny woman in the studio with me, Miss Monique.
Hey, my sweet sister.
Welcome to the show. Shout out to my producer for that track right there, Kim Jokes.
Kim Jokes, let me tell you something, baby. That one right there, you get you a little cocktail, sip it. And just go, what? That one right there, baby.
And you got to sing it. Shypedia. Chicago media for the people. That's right.
Come on. Shypedia.
Shypedia.
Come on. Shypedia. With Marsha. Shypedia. With Marsha. Shypedia. What you want to do? What you want to say? How you want to play? Shypedia. Ha. Come on. What you wanna do? How you wanna play? What you gotta say on Shypedia Way? Hey.
You know, I had to. Hey. This is the longest I've ever played this intro.
Baby, I love it.
I'm gonna have to send you home with a track.
Come on now, because I can freestyle over it all day. They're looking for a freestyle artist.
That's right. So we're gonna add that to your resume, because you've done a whole lot of things.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for putting that on there. I'm a songstress too, though. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want to give me that credit, Marsha. And I'm glad that you say it. Let me add it on. See, that's respect. That's respect.
You know, I have mad respect for you.
Thank you, sis.
Number one, because you're a woman.
Mm.
You're a black woman.
Come on.
And you don't bite your tongue.
My mouth too big.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
Aren't we not supposed to bite our tongues?
Well, you know, that's the thing. They expect us to be quiet. Mm-hmm. We can't speak up for ourselves. And I can speak because I'm a black woman.
Come on.
And I know that a lot of things were due for me and I didn't get the credit for, because they felt as though I didn't deserve it.
And as long as we stay quiet, they'll never give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we stay in a place of fear, we'll never get what's rightfully ours. As long as we stay conditioned, we'll always be in a place of, I know I wasn't treated fairly, but no, we must speak up, we must speak loudly, and we must be unapologetic about it.
Yes, that's right. And that's doing a lot for our black girls as well.
Well, you know, I think that it does a lot for just people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we've been so conditioned to, oh, if they have money, be careful. Oh, if they powerful, be careful. Listen, I've not met the person yet that's escaped death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I meet them, I might be a little nervous. I might say, Marsha, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because they done left and came back.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't met them yet. As long as you bleed, breathe, and die just like me, I can't be fearful of you.
And the only person you can be fearful of
is no one.
Is God.
God. No one.
No one.
What kind of God would want you to be scared?
Ooh.
But see, they've conditioned us to believe you better fear God. Why? Why would I fear something that you say is so loving, so unforgiving, so beautiful? Now you want me to be scared of it? I can't buy into that, sis.
Mm.
It's just the things we've been fed, but too afraid to question. You hear people say, God is a jealous God. Huh? Why? What does God have to be jealous of? So it's all these little things that we're fed, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. See, being quiet has been passed down.
Mm-hmm.
Being fearful has been passed down. Being conditioned has been passed down. So when you say, well, there's only one thing to fear, and that's God, why ever would we fear what's supposed to be the most beautiful? That just makes no sense. But that's a form of control. If I can make you afraid of me, I can control you. If I can tell you I can wave a magic wand and make it different, I can control you. So no, I don't even fear God.
Did this wisdom develop with time?
I'm 50 years old, and I think that we all grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I've always had the spirit of a freedom fighter. I think I came with that. I think in one of my lives I was Harriet Tubman, just so we clear about who Monique is. I think the spirit of who I am, I came with that spirit. Oftentimes I didn't know how to say it, because it's like, oh God, how do you put this in words? But as you get older and you mature and you get comfortable in your words, then you just use them and you say them.
Growing up when you were younger, though, that little Monique, now, the mouth was always there, right? You was always vocal
always.
As a kid. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Was I? Baby, I didn't know how to not.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think that we come with these spirits. I don't take the credit for it.
I truly believe that.
If I tried to stop, I couldn't.
Yeah. You are who you are.
That's it. That's it.
And respect that. You can't do nothing but respect it.
And I'm unafraid of her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unafraid of the spirit I've been given. So because I've been given that spirit, it is my obligation to use it.
That's right.
Until I can't use it no more, until the next one gets it. And I always say, let me make sure I'm taking care of the spirit I was given, because it's going to go somewhere else. So when the next sister get it, I want her to say, you took care of yours, because whoever gave me mine, they took care of her baby.
Mm.
So that's how I look at it.
You know, I was told that I used to be a man. I mean, in my past life, I'm sorry. And I truly feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I get what you're saying now. The spirit, it remains with you.
Yes. Yes. It's you know, we're just the shell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the vessel.
Yes.
But that spirit, baby, there's nothing. You have some people that will say, you know what, I'm going to dull it down. I'm not going to use it. But I think that when you do that, the universe punishes you for that, because they say that's the gift we gave you. Mm-hmm. How dare you put the gift away? It's what we gave you to use your gift. So for me, it's just, I'm grateful that the spirit was given to me. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that. I got big shoulders and a big head and big feet for a reason.
That's okay. That's okay. You know,
no, baby, I say that with honor.
No one can do nothing but respect it. They should respect that. When I hear you talk, and I can almost, I won't say compare, but society, they try to paint this picture as though there's something wrong because you speak up, or the things that you say, that's only because certain people can't wrap their minds around it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with social media and just how mean people are?
I have a loving family, and I know what my priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
And my priorities are my husband and my children. So I can't get caught up in your opinion or needing your validation, because we don't know one another. I have to get caught up in how my husband feels, how my children feel. If they say, Mama, you good? Mama good, baby. So what people put on social media, or whatever people are saying, it's their right to say. But it's also my right to say, I don't need your validation. I'm good with whatever you, however you feel is how you feel, but your validation I don't need. And we live in a society where oftentimes we don't feel complete unless we're getting someone else's validation.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens oftentimes with us as Black folk, if we don't get that white man's validation, we don't always feel worthy.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get their approval, oh, it's not right. If they feel like we're wrong. So, and I can speak it because I'm walking through it. You know, when you have to say, no, we got to stand, y'all. That's inequality. That's not right. That's unfair. And when there were some Black women, not all, because there were also some sisters saying, Mo, we standing with you. But there were some sisters saying, Mo, sit down and shut up. Just go. Don't say nothing. Let me school you, as my sister Whoopi Goldberg said. And what you were schooling me to be was telling me how to be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be unafraid to say what's real, what's honest, and whatever the consequence is going to be, let it be. But if we don't say what's honest and what's real, we're not thinking about the little girl who's not born yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll have to walk through that same journey of inequality, injustice. So I want to make sure I'm doing my part to say, no, baby, I got to stand, because there were some sisters that came before me that stood for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great way of putting it. I like the perspective now. You know, you're speaking out about why you're so vocal, and I could tell you're so passionate about it. You exude so much self-esteem and self-worth and self-love. We can't do nothing but just soak it in.
I'm being loved, and I'm learning how to love back. When people say, Monique, what you doing? You look different. Sisters, I'm being loved. And I'm learning how to love back. And when you have a husband that
supportive.
I call daddy.
Daddy.
Okay.
Now, why do you give him that title, daddy?
Because he is that. He has nurtured me in a way that my father's never nurtured me. He's raising me in a way that my father never raised me. He's teaching me how to be a woman, how to be a wife and a mother. Now, he also calls me mama, but our sisters didn't hear that. They just heard me saying daddy. Why you call him daddy? Is he your pimp? I'm like, wait a minute, y'all.
We call each other
mama and daddy, but we only hear what we want to hear. But for me, he earned that. That's not something that he walked in the door. I said, hey, daddy. No, Sidney Hicks earned that, and I'm unapologetic for it. And I tell women, get you one and watch how you start feeling. Mm-hmm. Hey, daddy. Yes, that's what I say to him, girl. Hey, daddy. And my children, they say, mommy, daddy calling you. I appreciate that. Or, you know, he'll say, boys, your mama wants you, mommy calling you. So it's just that respect and that trust and that freedom.
Oh, my gosh. Unapologetic. You were married a few times.
Girl, yes.
Okay.
Now, I've had a few husbands. I got a lot of last names. Monique Imes. What was the first? Watkins. I was Watkins. Monique
Imes. You had to think about it.
Girl, I had to think about it.
She married that man's name.
Monique Imes Watkins Jackson Hicks. Though I've been married three times, this is the first time I've known my place as a man's wife.
But you've been knowing him since you were 14
years old, baby, 10th grade.
So he was always there.
Always. We were best friends. We were like brother and sister. We were roommates. I knew his girlfriend. He knew my boyfriends. I put that S on it. It's unexplainable, but we were these best friends. And then we were brother and sister. And then one day it got different and we became lovers. Wow. And then we became husband and wife. Yes,
and baby. Brought a pair of beautiful twins.
Yes, yes, yes.
She did that.
Yes, mama. She, people said, Monique, what did you use? How'd you get them twins? What you use? I said, my husband. That's what I use, baby, my husband.
Now, how old were you when you had the twins?
38.
Okay. So those eggs was dropping a little bit. They started to speed up a little bit. Or is it hereditary?
Twins don't run in either one of our sides.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was just that David came first and Jonathan said, you're not leaving me. It's like, no, where you trying to go? You're not leaving me. I'm right here with you. Yeah.
And they did mama a favor because they came. You didn't have to get pregnant twice. You did it in one shot.
Well, I have an older son, 28. Mm-hmm. And Michael's 15, and the twins are 13. And had I just had a single baby, I would have probably had another baby right behind that baby.
Yes.
But the universe said, that body is, that's enough. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to give you these two shots right here.
Away.
Yeah, girl.
Now, did they come naturally?
Mm-mm. Came naturally. They here.
No, I'm saying birth-wise.
Listen.
No cesarean.
Any way they come out is natural, okay?
It is.
If you push them.
I'm a mom also, so I always go deep into it, you know.
See, some people have you feeling like, oh, you know, you got to really experience the natural birth. Mm-hmm. That's really your womanhood. My womanhood was the night I conceived them.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how they come out? Baby, listen.
You
get them here
yes.
the best way you can.
Uh-huh.
But all of my children were cesareans.
Yeah, mine's as well.
All of them. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. That labor set. I said, And after about 4 hours of labor with the first one, they said, we think we're going to have to take them. I think you should. Yeah. I agree. I think you should.
I love it. Okay, so I did a little bit more digging. Oh, that's okay.
That's good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Light's on, and God said, let there be light.
That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
But then you got to question that, too. Because they said the sun came for anything. It was already light. So what are they talking about? But that's a whole nother topic. I'm back.
Now, you own rights to the Hattie McDaniel's life story.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then, after a certain amount of time, your right time runs out. But I did. But I still feel in my spirit that movie's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I do it or not, you have to tell that story because she'll explain through her words why the Oscar is what it is to black people. she was the first one to win it as a black person and a black woman. And she said, it feels like when I won this trophy, I was cursed, because to win an Oscar is supposed to be the biggest award that you can get in the world, not just Hollywood. Well, when you get that award, the money is supposed to come with that award. Well, as we know, for black women especially, you just have the award. The financial benefit does not come with that award. So when you hear her story, you understand why from 1940 to 2018, that there are 8 black women that have won that award, and not one of those black women, as far as I know, has ever received a multi-million dollar payday. Mm. I'm not saying they haven't. I'm just saying, as far as I know, has not received it. So when you know her story, you'll understand the story of black people winning that award in Hollywood, especially women.
Career-wise, in the future, what would you like to work on next?
That's a good one. You know what I would like to work on next? Tomorrow. I used to run down my resume. I used to run down what I wanted to do, and the universe said, we got something different for you. So if you just concentrate in today and hope you get to tomorrow, we got the rest covered.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only answer I can give you.
Okay.
Now, what I can tell you is, and I must tell you, I just did a project with this brother who has one of the most brilliant minds in entertainment, and that's Donald Glover.
Yes, yes.
And his mind is genius. But what I have to say is, and I said to him yesterday, I said, you know me to be a person that if you mess up, I'm going to tell on you. And if you mistreat, I'm going to tell on you. But I also have to tell when you do it right. And when I tell you, sister, that young brother and his team did it right. The treatment that they gave to myself and my team, it was a breath of fresh air. They were 5 black men. And when I tell you they were 5 black kings walking through that production, they were gentlemen. They were professional. They knew what they were doing. And they made sure we were good. You don't see that very often. You hear a lot of talk, but when no one's watching, then you see who they really are. When I tell you, if you're not a fan of Donald Glover's, you need to become one, because that young brother treated 4 black women in a way that you would hope we would get that treatment from a Tyler Perry, from a Will Packer, from a Oprah Winfrey, from a Lee Daniels. That young brother showed us how it's supposed to be done when no cameras were around, when no one was listening, no one was watching. It was top of the line, first class, all the way through. And I said to him, I said, listen, I'm going to shout your name as loud as I can and as much as I can, because they need to know that as brilliant as you are in front of that camera, your heart is far bigger.
I love him.
Love him. Love
extremely
him.
Talented.
His team, fam. I wish I knew all of their names right off. But when I tell you, when you saw these young brothers, baby, step up, they stepped up and they stepped out, and they were just beautiful. They really were. They were beautiful. And it's beautiful to see in this business.
Now, are you open about what project you were working on?
we shot a commercial.
Okay.
We shot a commercial, and I'll let him announce it, but we shot a commercial, and I had a chance to sit back and watch this baby's mind. Just watch him work. And what y'all see, baby, it ain't no fluke. This brother is the real deal. Yes, he is. When he put out This Is America, he just wasn't trying to entertain. He was saying, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking on the relationship of the black man and the black woman.
Yes.
What do you think about that relationship today? Do you feel like there's something missing?
Yes. I think that, in my humble opinion, a lot of us got caught up in being a boss, and we got caught up in empowerment and independency. And a lot of us went to the Oprah Winfrey University of, you can do it yourself and you don't need a man. I signed up too, but I had to drop out because it wasn't working for me. But we got caught up in the bag. And we got caught up in, I don't need you because I got the bag. And I think that's what's missing. You know, I'll say to sisters at my show, when the last time you made dinner on a Sunday? And they almost look with a smirk on their face. I'm like, what? That's missing. When is the last time you said to your man, just put your feet on my lap. I'm going to rub your feet. And then he said, well, put yours back on mine. I got yours after I do that. We got so caught up in being power couples and just the ridiculousness of trying to follow other people's way and wasn't comfortable in your way. So I think for me, what was missing for me was I didn't know my place. I didn't know how to be a black man's wife. I didn't know because I was looking like, listen, I can do what you do. I make the money. I got this. I got that. So I got lost in stuff and I didn't understand being loved or how to love. And I think that's what some of us are missing. We're getting so caught up in, I got a big house, I got a fancy car, I'm empowered, I'm independent.
I don't need no man.
I don't need no man. Well, who gonna rub your stomach when them cramps hitting you so hard? You gonna call your bank account? Who gonna rub your back when you had a rough day? You gonna call your title or your position? I think that's what's missing.
If you think you lonely now,
wait until tonight. Okay, girl. But, you know, I understand it, though, we've been fed that. We've been fed that. We've been fed that. Subliminally, we've been fed it, and we've been fed it right in our faces. We watch our mamas not love our daddies. We watch our grandmamas not love our granddaddies. We watch our aunties not love our uncles. So we're constantly being fed this, and we watch what we consider to be the biggest juggernaut black woman in the world have a boyfriend for 25 years.
Yes.
Now, if that, I'm not knocking it because that might be her thing. That's people's thing. But when you say what's missing is we want to follow a fantasy and not understand the reality.
Yes.
Because when all the cameras go off and there's nobody else clapping for you, what you going home to?
That's right.
A big house and some puppies?
Yep. That's right.
So I think that oftentimes we follow a fantasy. And we don't understand our own reality.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we don't wake up. A lot of people don't wake up until it gets to that point. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm alone. You know, no one wants to be alone or just.
I don't think so.
Or just to have a companion.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes. And to understand that relationship. Often, I know. And that's why I can only speak for me. This is my third marriage. And it's been a whole lot of men in between.
Were you a little hesitant
to what?
With getting married?
No, because it was my best friend, and I knew that he would protect me and cover me as he always have. But when we first got married, I didn't marry my husband. I married my best friend.
Yes.
So we weren't in love. Mm-hmm. We were best friends. Mm-hmm. It took us time to get to that place, and then once we got to that place. It was like, that's what this feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. I want that for as long as I can have it. So it's understanding your reality and not living somebody else's fantasy.
Okay. I want to shout out Jilly from Philly.
Come on.
So
talk about my sister. Yes, talk about my sister who did that beautiful seminar on stage that night. Was y'all paying attention? Because had y'all took that home to your man, what you want the next day? You want a new refrigerator? Do you want to go shopping? You need a new living room set. What you want? Jilly from Philly, my sister, thank you for that seminar, baby. Yes, you let the women know.
So now everybody, social media is going crazy and, you know, women thinking now we need to step it up. We need to, you know, but break it down for them how this should really go, though. Yeah, that should come along with it, right?
Yes.
So
that should be your morning wake up and your evening good night.
Let
me say it again. Before the coffee, that should be your morning. You don't need some caffeine bad for you. But they won't tell you that. You will sip up on that caffeine, but will you sip up? Okay? Well, you sip up.
Wait a minute. What you mean, sip up?
Just what I said. You will sip up on that caffeine, which is poison to your system.
Yeah.
Poison. Mm-hmm. But will you sip up on that? Because that can create a whole human being. What you going to do with it?
Mm.
It'll take away acid reflux, make your skin good, your voice sounds better, make your attitude friendlier. What you going to do with it?
That's true. Mm. It works well in the workplace.
So before y'all say, oh, what Jill doing? What Jill was doing was saying, let me show y'all why my skin good. Let me show y'all why I can hit the notes I can hit. Let me show y'all. Okay, that's what my sister was saying.
I feel like going a cappella right now.
Yes.
Now, we've been watching your journey with your health, you know,
yes,
your fitness and everything. So now, since you mentioned the caffeine thing, you're more knowledgeable.
You said that was stress. Yes. Yes.
You're more knowledgeable.
Yes.
About the things that you should and should not eat.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we need to steer clear from? What's been working for you?
I stopped eating red meat, but I've been doing that now for a while. And I still like fish every now and again, like that shrimp every now and again, but I'm trying to get away from that too. But what I try to stay clear from is animal. Because the animals say, if you kill me, I'll kill you. I'll just take a longer time to get to you. So I started researching what I was putting in my mouth and seeing what it was and what it could and the benefits and the effects. I started researching. So I do a lot of juicing. People say, Monique, what you putting on your skin? Nothing. It's what I'm putting in my mouth, what's going on the inside that's working on the outside. You can't fix you from the outside in. It's got to start from the inside. So I'm really, really conscious of what I'm putting inside of my body. I do beet juice every morning, beet, ginger, apple. I do dandelion, kale, spinach, and lemon. Then I do a shot of turmeric. So, I mean, it's the medicine is in the food, but so is the poison.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it depends on what you get ready to take.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's a lot of fruits and vegetables because that's where the medicine is. Where the poison is grease, fried, the meat.
It's an addiction now for us.
Well, it is.
It's hard to cut for, you know.
But, well, when you got to make a choice. You got to make a decision.
Life or death.
Life or death. If you want to keep doing it, what color is your favorite dress? Because we'll get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put you in that coffin pretty, baby. They will say, girl, how she look? She look good. If you don't want that. I mean, of course they're going to say it one day. But if you don't want that, you got to do what you got to do so that you don't get that. And when I go back to, this is the first time I'm understanding being loved and learning how to love back. Well, I want that for as long as I can have it. So I got to do the things that's going to allow me to have that for as long as I can have it. By me having children at 38, well, I'm 50 years old.
You look good,
and be
Monique.
51 December 11th.
So, it's just enough.
Talk on it. See this fire. But I want to meet their children. And I want to meet their children. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to do the work to get to that. And like I tell sisters, is it challenging? As hell. This is the most challenging thing I've ever had to do in my life. Is it worth it? Yes. Am I worth it? Yes. Is my family worth it? Yes. So if that means I can't have no caffeine, am I going to say I'm never going to have it? No. I can't have it every day. Will I go get me a chai tea latte? I will do it. But could you put soy in it, please? And not the cow's milk? And my children, one of my sons love cow's milk. I said, well, listen, let's make a deal. I'll let you have the cow's milk, but we got to go to the farm and you got to put your mouth on her and you got to get it pure. Now, I'm not going to get it from the store. What you say? Well, he drinks rice milk now because he couldn't imagine going to put his mouth up on the cow's hoof. What is it called? The udder. Because I wanted to call it something else, but I know that wasn't what it was. Okay. Baby, what's going on?
Santa Claus.
Y'all listen.
Okay.
Let me just tell y'all this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We sit in a studio that has a window, right? Now, I'm looking at Marsha head on, but when I turn slightly around, I saw an old white man and an old white lady. The clauses, right? It just caught me off. It just caught me off guard. Because they look like them for real. Did y'all go to the North Pole and get them? Like, they look like it for real. Where the little elves at?
This is WGN, honey. So, you know, they get the real deal around here. You know,
white gifts cheap. Now. That's what it stands for. White gifts now. That was the Santas.
But let's get down to business, though, because you're here in Chicago for a reason. You're going to be at the Chicago Improv tonight.
Yes.
And tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Doing it, baby.
I think you're sold out on one of them.
All the shows are sold out. Yeah. All the shows are sold out. But listen, Chicago, y'all do me right every time. They take care of me in a family kind of way. I don't have fans here. I don't want any fans. They family. And they treat me good. There's a young sister here, Marsha, at the Chicago Defender. And her name is Marshall. And you ever met a young sister that's just doing it? And you proud of her? Mm-hmm. This sister was so... She was just so good. And what I appreciated about her, when she shared her age, she said, you know, she kept calling me Miss Monique. And I was like, but she said, Miss Monique, I'm 30. So I understood it. But she put down her pen being a journalist. And she just became another sister. And the conversation we had, Marsha, was so beautiful. And I told that baby, I said, if you keep going like you're going, the information you'll get, just with talking, you'll get what most people will never get because you share, which allows people to share. So, Chicago, whenever you see that sister, Marshall from the Chicago Defender, writing anything, support that baby because she is a brilliant mind that oftentimes will never get a chance to see or hear. Now, I called the publisher and the editor to let them know of this wonderful experience. And I'm assuming they were really, really busy because, you know, they didn't call me back, Marsha. But I'm letting all of Chicago know. Her name is Marshall at the Chicago Defender. Make sure y'all support this young, beautiful sister.
All right, Monique. Thank you so much. We have so much love here in Chicago for you, obviously, because it's a sold-out show, you guys. But she has given us more than enough here at Chipedia on WGN+. And she exudes self-esteem, self-love. She's every woman. She's everybody.
Well, can I tell y'all about Marsha, Marsha? Can I tell y'all about our sister? This is what I appreciate. You showed up. And you showed out. Oftentimes when we go do radio, some of our sisters look like they just got out of bed. And I say to them, do you know they can see what you look like through your voice? They can see you. I appreciate when you show up and you show out. And you say, hey, I'm going to do what I do. But you look beautiful. You look like you took your time and said, let me get me together. That doesn't happen often. So we appreciate that, sister.
Well, I'm shocked.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the
sister.
Next one coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Y'all make sure y'all support this sister. Tell a friend, tell another friend, and tell 10 more friends. Make sure y'all listen to Marsha Marsha on Chipedia Media. I said that, didn't I?
She said that.
Hey,
you guys.
Hey.
Thank you.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? And that's all I know. Okay. Love you, baby. Chipedia, 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 Chipedia. Shot, shot, shot.